Best-selling author Tracy Chevalier is celebrated for her rich, beautiful novel spun around captivating European historical figures such as Vermeer, the Dutch painter featured in her tour de force blockbuster Girl with a Pearl Earring. Now, for the first time, Chevalier brings to life a unique and iconic part of American history in The Last Runaway, which takes readers to the center of one of America's most profound and affecting movements, the Underground Railroad, and the Quakers who made it run. Tracy Chevalier, welcome to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for inviting me.
It's a delight to have you on the program. What brought you to this particular subject?
Well, I think I'd been looking for a while for something to write about that would be set in the States, because my first six novels have all been set in Europe.
Europe, right.
And because I moved from, after I graduated college, I moved to London, and I've been here for almost 30 years. And the funny thing is, I think because I'm an outsider, it made it easier for me to look at the to look at European history and find the gaps I wanted to fill. And I was always a little reluctant to write about America because I was too close to it. It's my home country, and I didn't know quite how to write about it. But then I've been away long enough now that I think I felt that slight distance, and so I felt I wanted to find something to write about. I American history is varied, but it's not quite as varied as European history, and so. The most obvious thing would be, I suppose, the American War of Independence or the Civil War, but I didn't want to write about war. There have been a lot of fantastic novels written about the Civil War, but I was fascinated by the run-up to it. And the Underground Railroad is one of those sort of myths we've read about, we've known about since we were kids. We all knew about Harriet Tubman and Frederick Douglass, and but I think I wanted to see if I could uncover the reality behind the Underground Railroad. So that was what drew me originally to the project.
What, in the choice of Ohio, a very specific choice, you did go to Oberlin, so I assume that there was some, what brought you specifically to Ohio?
I specifically, partly it was because I went to Oberlin, so I knew, I haven't lived in the States for almost 30 years, so I needed a place that I felt comfortable with, and I knew a bit about. But I also am fascinated by Ohio because it was one of the most active states in terms of Underground Railroad movement. It's a state that is, a northern state that's sandwiched between a southern slave state, Kentucky, and Canada, which was where most slaves were aiming for it, because they were safer there than they would be even in northern states, where in northern states they could still be taken back by their owners if they were found. But if you were in Canada, your freedom was guaranteed. So there was a lot of movement in Ohio. I also noticed that there was a lot of movement in Ohio from east to west. It was the gateway to the West. Any settlers who were leaving the Northeast, leaving the Atlantic states, North Atlantic states to go west, would have had to go through Ohio. And that movement as a kind of transient place with no character of its own, and yet that was its character, and it became its character, it really fascinated me, and I thought it all kind of came together in the fact that I knew it, both I knew it and there was this movement. So that was what made me choose Ohio.
At what point in your life, I actually want to go back, because you were talking about living away for almost 30 years and having this feeling now of being less attached to the United States. Do you feel that gives you an objectivity?
Yes, I think a little bit more so than maybe I used to have. And I think that's the role of a writer is often to be on the sidelines rather than actually playing the game. And it's easier to be on the sidelines observing if you are the outsider, the foreigner. And that's, in a way, I reflect that in the book itself, because the main character is not American, but is English. Honor Bright is an English, young English Quaker from southern England who emigrates in 1850 to Ohio. And because she's not American, I can play around with the differences between the two countries and also sort of represent the country from her eyes in a fresh way.
The protagonist is a young Quaker woman, and how familiar were you with the Quakers, with that lifestyle, especially within Ohio?
When I was growing up, I grew up in Washington, D.C., and I used to go to a Quaker camp, Catoctin Quaker Camp, in near Thurmont, Maryland, which is where Camp David is. So it was in those little mountains there. And I went for seven summers and absolutely loved it. Quaker principles are based on simplicity and the belief in the equality of all people, in everybody having a what they call an inner light, God, if you want to call it that, but having something profound within each of us. And I loved the camp. It was great fun. It was a very pared down place, and also we were silent for 15 minutes every day. We sat down for a meeting. It's called Meeting for Worship, and you sit in silence. And you know, to get kids to be silent for 15 minutes is not that easy, but we got pretty good at it by the end, and ever since then, every now and then, I go to Quaker meeting just to have that hour, an hour of silence, and to think about things that are outside of daily existence. And that, I thought it would be, I wanted to bring that to Ohio and to the Underground Railroad, in part because Quakers are very active in abolitionism and the Underground Railroad. But also, I like the idea of having a character who is silent, who is quiet a lot of the time, and in a way, the book is really about her learning to find her voice and to figure out when is the right time to speak up and when is the right time to act out your principles.
Honor Bright is a young Quaker. She emigrated from England to Ohio in 1850. She is quiet. There is great disappointment and tragedy in her life.
Yes, it starts from disappointment and tragedy, and I hope builds up to something a little happier. And helped along the way by a whole lot of interesting characters. I think she's quite baffled by Americans at first because they're a lot louder. They speak their minds. It takes her a while to get her head around this. And I think my favorite character in the book is a milliner, a hat maker named Belle Mills.
If
you think of somebody who makes hats, you sort of think she's going to be very pretty and feminine and wear frilly stuff. And Belle is not like that at all. You know, she's quite plain. She's clearly jaundiced, has really big popping out eyes, and sort of stomps around and never wears her frilly hats. She doesn't want to compete with her customers. She speaks her mind, but she takes Honor in, and she helps her. She helps her, and she cuts through some of the nonsense sometimes. Sometimes you need a character who's going to be a bit plain speaking.
It's one of the things that I found fascinating about the novel is how much you write about and how fascinating the quilting culture is, especially during that time, but also within the Quaker lifestyle.
Yes, I always like to find something that my characters do or make with their hands. People did that a lot back then. We don't do it so much now, but it was people had a lot of time for that. And necessity as well. And when I was looking for something for my characters in The Last Runaway, I thought about English and American women and what they had in common. And one of them is that they all, most of them, made quilts. And I love quilts. I mean, I didn't love quilts before I started this book, but I've grown to really appreciate them. And, you know, people think quilt, oh, it's going to be artsy, craftsy, all frilly, or else something you see in a junk shop. Well, actually, quilts were really, they were made for very practical reasons, and they were often made out of scraps from around the house, so they had a kind of history literally sewn into someone's life, or layers of history. They're practical, but they also were an outlet for women's creativity. And I loved them because, I loved using them in the book, because they also gave, they were able to point up the differences between, say, American and English women, because English quilts and American quilts are quite different at that point, aesthetically different, and it was kind of a fun way to point out the character differences between the two countries.
And as we mentioned, this character of Honor is a loneliness and sort of a search, and she finds a purpose and almost a family within this network and in helping the Underground Railroad.
Yes, I think it's a purpose that extends beyond herself and her immediate family, the family she ends up with, the farm she ends up working on. It takes her, it gives her a voice and a purpose that is larger than herself. And I think that's a lesson we all can learn, you know, not to always just look inward, but to look outward is very important.
When you take on a project like this and you get to explore, how much time were you spending in Ohio and in that region?
I came on various trips. I think I three or four times was in Ohio for maybe 3 or 4 days at a time. I mean, I had a week once. I had a plan to go for 2 weeks and really get in deep, but it was unfortunately cut short by a family emergency. So I had to make, you know, sometimes things like that happen and you have to make very definite decisions. At one point I was thinking of actually setting the book in southern Ohio, just north of the Ohio River, and which is an area I don't know that well. My trip got cut short. I couldn't go down there, and I thought, okay, that's somebody's telling me that I need to set this where I know. So I got set outside of Oberlin, which I know a lot better. So, and it turned out fine in the end. But you know, sometimes things like that happen. When I wrote Girl with a Pearl Earring so many years ago, I was pregnant at the time, and because I was pregnant, I only had 8 months to write the book. Research and write the book. So I made certain decisions about it. I said it's going to be short. It's going to be a one narrator, linear structure. And I think that the book was better for that. And I sometimes think if I had had all the time in the world to write that, maybe it wouldn't have been as turned out as well as it did. So sometimes these practical boundaries are helpful.
The name of the new novel is The Last Runaway. It is it's fascinating and really a wonderful read. It is published by Dutton. Tracy Chevalier, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure, as always.
Pleasure to be on. Thanks very much.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.